First Epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 7, from the verse number 25 and on.
Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. But and if thou marry, thou hast not sinned. And if a virgin marry, she hath not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh. But I spare you. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not. And they that use this world as not abusing it. For the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. There is difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman careth for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak for your own profit. Not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. But if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Nevertheless, he that standeth steadfast in his heart, having no necessity, but hath power over his own will, and hath so decreed in his heart that he will keep his virgin, doeth well. So then, he that giveth her in marriage doeth well, but he that giveth her not in marriage doeth better. The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment. And I think also that I have the Spirit of God.
In this chapter 7, verses 20 and 24 reflect on all the verses that precede and also on all the following verses, and that is, let every man, every believer, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. And if we try to understand that in any other way, then I am called from sin to the gospel, from death to life, from slavery to Satan, slavery to ignorance, slavery to misunderstanding, to the knowledge of the Word of God and faithful, joyful service to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is my calling and that is my direction, and that should continue as long as I live. Let every believer, wherein he is called, therein abide with God, in that calling, not necessarily only in the condition and environment in which he was physically at the time of his calling, or at the time when he heard, realized that the Lord is calling him to become a Christian. If we try to understand this encouragement, this advice, even this commandment, in any other way, we get into a snag, into a difficult and complicated situations that confuse the gospel for us, and we don't know what to answer to some important questions of our life here and our pilgrimage. And to transfer the different conditions of living and different, so to say, paths of walk through this life of the early Christians to our days today, I could say, well, if I'm a poor worker all of my life, that does not necessarily make me a poor witness for Christ or a poor minister of the gospel. Not necessarily. Those that are poor are often rich in faith and faithfulness to the Lord. And if the Lord has given me wealth and properties and possessions, material possessions and physical wealth, money and whatever, and I understand that all of that is given to me to be a steward of all of that, I'm serving the Lord in all of that, not indulging my vanity and pride and sinful lusting and so on. If I serve the Lord in all of that, in that calling, I can continue as long as I live. Of course, the Lord can change everything. However, if I see that my wealth and my properties and possessions are separating me from the Lord, and I prayed about that, and I struggled about that, and still, as long as I have them, they are a barrier between me and my spiritual growth. Get rid of the obstacle. Get rid of the barrier. And serve the Lord in the best way the Lord will provide for you. That's the calling in which I was called, and in that I should continue faithfully to the end of my life. Now, what can we say? If I am a poor worker, and that poverty seemed to be in my way, I wish I could be wealthy as that wealthier brother. Look at him. He has a big shop. He has a lot of people working for him. And he seemed to be so open to do charity work and give alms and do good deeds and so on. And he's so happy in the Lord. When shall I become happy? Listen, my brother, you are not poor in the Lord. You are poor because you have chosen to be poor. You think that wealthier brother has no worries, no problems, no difficulties, many more than you in your poverty. If the Lord has provided for you, and you can get wealthier, and you can get out of your poverty, praise the Lord, use that opportunity. But if there is no better way, the way that you live and serve the Lord is the best for you. That's what the Lord has given you. Now, don't look around and wish, oh, I'm married, I wish I was a widower. Look at that widower, he's serving the Lord so faithfully. No, that could be a godless idea and godless desire. If I am poor, I have limited budget, I have a small home, I have a little car or no car at all, and I can live like that and serve the Lord, excellent. That's a blessing. That's wonderful. That's a marvelous example of faithfulness to the Lord. Look at Lazarus the beggar. He was poor. He was sick. He was alone, forsaken, naked. And the moment he ended his life, now the Lord ended his life for him, his life continued in eternity. And the angels hardly could have waited to take him into the bosom of Abraham. What a blessed testimony, glorious testimony. If you can get a better job, if you can increase your income while you are serving the Lord without making your service to the Lord and your fellow believers a secondary thing, second class, or diminishing your faithfulness, then go for it, do it, use it. The Lord has given it to you. There is nothing wrong. It's the gift of God. I think that teaching continued to the end of this chapter. In the verse number 25, I read, "Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful." And then, verse 26, "I suppose therefore that this is good for the present distress," I say, "that is good for a man so to be." I intentionally read these two verses together, verse 25 and verse 24, to somehow eliminate one obstacle that I notice frequently is in the way of good understanding the scriptures or this passage of the scripture and some other closely related passages, and that is that the word virgins in the verse 25 and the word a man in the verse number 26 are practically the same. It's talking about a human being, not about girls and boys, female and male. Actually, he is talking in a general sense, both believers, regardless of the gender. To both single brothers and single sisters in the Lord, Paul has no commandments of the Lord, yet he is giving his judgment. Is Paul doing something that the Lord did not tell him to do? I don't believe so. What we should read here, what we should understand from these lines, the Lord commanded to Paul the apostle, give no commandments to the single brothers and sisters that they must remain single. Give them no commandment that they have to get married. There is no such commandment among the Lord's commandments. And the Lord said to Paul, give them your experience advice. Share with them the wisdom of experience that I have given you, the Lord has given to Paul, so that the believers can benefit from the experience of a faithful brother who is way ahead of them. By the grace of God, Paul the Apostle is faithful to his calling, faithful to the Lord, as we read at the end of the verse number 25. And that he is going to share with us. So he said, I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. I say that it is good for a man so to be. Now I will read that text without the inserts that have been inserted by the translators. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress, that be good for a man so to be. I didn't quite manage to read it without any inserts. I inserted one of my own, and that is to be. So let us keep in mind, considering this verse, let us keep in mind verse 24 and verse 20, that we are going in the same direction, from lower manner of living to the higher level of living, further away from the world of sin and darkness, and closer to the example of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when Paul is saying that it is good for the present distress, his advice is good for the present distress, that indicates that that period of time is not necessarily representing all the periods of time, everything that will ever happen. It was a time of above average distress, difficulties. A little bit later, he will say more about that in the following verses. But at this time, he says, it is good for a person, a believer, a single man or a single woman, so to be. As you are, if you can be content with that, if you can be pleased to live only to please the Lord and serve your fellow believers, be a blessing to those around you, well, that's wonderful. That's a holy, godly living in Christ Jesus our Lord. Art thou bound unto a wife? Seek not to be loosed. Don't think in your heart, or don't confuse your mind with this kind of thinking. Oh, I wish I was not married. I wish I become a widow. That's not a godly thought. Art thou loosed from a wife? Seek not a wife. Are you single, whether being single, never married before, or you have become a widower or a widow? Seek not a marriage partner. Remain as you are. You can serve the Lord wonderfully just remaining as you are. Do not consider, do not believe that if you get married, you will serve the Lord much better. No. You can serve the Lord much better right now. And then, when you improve your relationship with the Lord, if you still see that the Lord is guiding you to get married, wonderful, get married. Marriage is not a rule that will automatically improve your service to the Lord and your fellow believer. No, rather the opposite happened in many cases. And yet, in some cases, it did present a real improvement. Verse 28 is telling us, and if thou marry, if you are single, or you are a widow or a widower, if you get married, you have not sinned. Marriage is not necessarily sinful if it's done in godliness. And if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. If we do anything with a sinful desire, sinful intention, we have sinned. If we do anything in godliness, in sincere godly service to the Lord and to the fellow believer, either or both, we have done what is pleasing the Lord and hopefully pleasing my fellow believer. Suppose I am working hard to secure a decent way of living, income, shelter, average necessities of this life. That's not ungodly. It's godly. I'm not supposed to be a beggar if I don't have to be. The Lord has not called us to be aimless, idle, and just confused, to fill our mind with nothing? No. The Lord has called us to work busily, to labor, to strive to be of help to the others. Of course, I have to eat something. I need some clothing. I need some shelter. Everybody does. So, when we labor for those necessities, that's part of our godliness. It's not godlessness. And if the Lord has given me all of these basic needs and I have everything, there is no crisis, no distress, it's a comfortable living, and I'm still restless because I see I'm not serving the Lord the way I should, then that's my higher calling. The Spirit of the Lord is calling me to improve my relationship with the Lord, my spiritual life, and my relationship with my fellow believer. In the verse 28 we see, if thou marry, thou hast not sinned, and if a virgin marry, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such shall have trouble in the flesh, but I spare you. The single believers should not be light-minded, thinking, oh, I'll find a beautiful girl and get married and we will be happy forever after. No, you are going to have difficulties, many difficulties. And a single sister should not have dreams and wild imagination, oh, if I marry a prince out of a lullaby story, oh, he is going to be so wonderful, all of my life he will be just dancing around me. No, he is not. We should, if we are preparing for marriage, we should anticipate difficulties. And we should pray about that. And we should seek not only the Lord's guidance, but also his continuous help to make us patient, loving, forgiving, helpful. Well, don't we need all of that all the time? Yes, but in marriage even more. What are some of the many difficulties that we are going to have? What are some of the many troubles and sufferings in the flesh or problems, barriers, difficulties, obstacles in this life that we are going to have in the flesh that are specific for a marriage, that are not necessarily problems and difficulties of the single believers. Every marriage is an entirely new experience, and there are so many differences in habits and getting used to one another to live together in love and loving kindness takes a lot of patience. Some of the ministers said, what is one of the big problems for most of the single men that got married? They answered that most of the single people, males, brothers, believe that his wife is going to be young and fresh and beautiful as she is now, and she will be like that as long as they live, and she won't. And most of the sisters getting into marriage dream about her husband growing, improving, and becoming just, if not perfect husband, at least much, much better than what he is now in the beginning or before their marriage, and he probably won't. And I, from my experience, without the least desire to scare everybody away from marriage, I can say, as I experienced in my experience, as I observed the other fellow believers, and especially those that were serious in their commitment to serve the Lord, I can say there is not a single marriage of a Christian brother with a Christian sister that are so harmonizing, that have such a good understanding, that they need not many prayers and a long labor, each one on himself or herself, to improve, to harmonize, to get used to one another, to supplement deficiencies of the spouse, and to improve and encourage one another in the good direction, to recognize all the good things that each one is doing, to recognize it in the other, not in myself. And so it takes a long time or a lot of labor, a lot of prayers to become a good marriage. A good marriage is like a building, you build it. And a tent is like a poor marriage. First wind is going to take it away or break it down. On the other hand, I'd like to give an encouragement. In this whole world, there is not a single brother and a single sister that entered into a marriage that are so different that in spite of many prayers and sincere desire and labor to become one, cannot become one. There are no brother and sister so different that they cannot become a good godly marriage. Now, looking from the aspect or the position of an apostle or a bishop, an elder, a minister, a teacher, or an experienced brother that has some influence on the younger brother or sister, our business is not to push fellow believers, especially the young ones, toward marriage, but rather to encourage them to serve the Lord, to live in godliness, to live in purity. And if the Lord is giving them a persisting desire toward marriage, let them marry, they sin not. And we should encourage them to do that prayerfully, in purity, in godliness. Go ahead and do what the Lord is guiding you to do. And the rest of us that are ahead of you, whether we be single or married ourselves, we should encourage each brother and sister to follow the guidance of the Lord. We may give an advice, but we are not necessarily in power, in authority to tell them, you got to get married or you must remain single. That's not our business. Let us be very careful. How do we handle the flock of the Lord, the family of the Lord? We are all brethren. Only the Lord is the Lord. After having said that he, the apostle, desired to spare the disciples to save them from more suffering than necessary, in the verse 29 he is saying, but this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remains that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoiced not, and they that buy as though they possessed not, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. In the verse number 26, we read about their present distress. And now, in the verse number 29, the time is short. Now, we could say that in every longer period of time in the human history and in every part of the world, there were periods of time that were very distressful. And we cannot be sure when such a time is going to happen again in the place, in the region where we live. If we are experiencing such a time, in the distressful times, it's easier and better for us, less stress, less difficulty, less suffering, if we don't make significant, important changes other than getting closer to the Lord and working and serving Him more diligently and more prayerfully. I think it is very natural feeling, awareness in the heart and mind of every sincere believer, sincere disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the time is short. I'm today 68 plus years old, pretty soon 69. And when I look backwards, when I reflect on the past years, it looks like it was yesterday when I was 16 working in the shop of my dad. And this week, on my list of the things that should be done in my everyday labor, beside studying the Word of God and making messages, recording messages and so on, sharing with the other fellow believers, or reaching out to the unbelievers, that list is much longer, much, much longer than the list of the accomplished things. And today is Saturday already. The week is gone. The month already passed, the past month, that is. And years are gone. The time is flying. The Lord is coming. That's a natural feeling of a believer, especially if he or she is in older age that I am in now. Beside that, I think in the verse 29, we can perceive that Paul was aware of some quick changes or changes in the whole society. Something was going to be drastically changed in the region of the city of Corinth, or all of that province of the Roman Empire. Very turbulent times are coming for Christians, for Jews, for all the people. There will be those things that the Lord predicted, wars and rumors of wars. And the Lord said, be ye not troubled. And here the Apostle Paul is saying to the disciples, I spare you. Since our time here is so short, and the time is given to us for the one main purpose, and that is to serve the Lord, what is left to us? those that have been married should use their marriage to serve the Lord within their marriage and outside in all of their walk through this life. Let the marriage be no reason for anyone to be proud or to be depressed. Marriage is one way of using this time and serving the Lord. If anyone is experiencing sad times at this time or longer period of time, use that sadness to serve the Lord. Let not sadness nor joy keep us from serving the Lord. We remember that Paul said in the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 12, I think it's verse 15, weep with those that weep. So it's very reasonable to think that the Lord has given us this opportunity, though we didn't ask for it, to experience sadness, to be a good example how godly people go through the time of sadness, and to reach out to the brother or sister that is also experiencing sadness at this time, and we encourage them to serve the Lord. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, His Spirit is powerful to turn defeat into victory. If we are experiencing joyful times at this time, perhaps it seems that everything is just wonderful and there are no tragedies, no disasters, no sicknesses, no difficulties. The life is just wonderful. It never happened to me, but to some people it might happen. Since I snapped this out of my mind, I should confess the other part. In my life, there were never times of absolute tragedy and disaster. The Lord was always so kind and so gracious and helping in every situation. If there was a time of difficulties, it was always very short. And another confession, sometimes I thought it was very long, but it was short. So if we are presently experiencing joyful times, reach out to the others that are also rejoicing and enjoying life in godliness, not in sin and the world of iniquity. On the other hand, if we have some friends, neighbors, acquaintances that are rejoicing and they have very cheerful time, they are unbelievers, and yet the Lord has given them some joys, or maybe they have taken some joy that the Lord has not given them, something sinful and so on, and they are rejoicing and they will talk to us about their joy and their excitement and so on. Then we have an opportunity to share with them our joy and our excitement and to tell them how good and wonderful the Lord has been to us. If we are in the business of buying and selling, whether it's real estate or private properties or commodities and necessities of this life and so on, there are times on the market that are apparently good for the buyers and then other times that are good for the sellers, and we could complain and we could be sad and concerned and worrying. What can I do? Now it's a good buyer's time, but I want to sell. Or it's a seller's good time, and I want to buy, and so on. There is always a lot of room to worry, but not for Christians, not for the disciples of the Lord. For us, there is always a lot of reasons, many reasons, to praise the Lord and to thank Him and to rejoice in His blessings and His goodness and mercy. But whether it's a moment that is good for our business or difficult for our business, neither one should be in the way of serving the Lord. There are many others that are in similar condition, similar situation. We can reach out to them and share the Lord. And if their brothers share the encouragement, if they are unbelievers, reach out to them with the gospel call. In every situation, be aware of the fact that joys and sadness of this life, success and struggle, all is just for a time. And the time we have here, we have it for one main purpose: to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve Him, and in His name serve one another. The fashion of this world passeth away, it's changing. And in spite of that, or maybe because of that, we should not worry, we should not be burdened, we should not be prevented from serving the Lord. We should be without care, without worrying, without depression. Nothing could have happened in this world if the Lord has not allowed that to happen. Nothing can happen against His will. He's guarding and watching His own all the time. And He Himself, the Lord personally, is working in all things to make them for good to those that trust and obey His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So, because the world is changing, we should be trusting the Lord. He does not change. But if we are faithful and we grow in faith and we mature in the spirit and knowledge of the Word of God, we could say that the Lord is getting better and better every day. Actually, He is perfect, and He is even making us better in His relationship with us. There is a great weakness of the human beings. As wonderful as the gifts and blessings of the Lord are, if they endure for a long time, they become usual, common, and we discount their value until we start losing them, and then we say, oh no, what's going on now? How can I live without that? But as long as we lived with that comfort, we did not remember to be thankful and to praise the Lord and do His will in sharing what we can with the other fellow believers and reaching out to the unbelievers. And I think because of that, and maybe some other reasons, the following passage is going to give us some commandments, but in the way of some illustration, I should say, as a picture, to keep us from desiring or envying fellow believers, to keep the singles from saying, oh, if I only had a wife, or if I only had a husband, I could serve the Lord. If I only had such sweet children as they do, I could serve the Lord. Or if the Lord had given me the children, I would raise them much better than brother so and sister so. In order not to envy, in order not to dream empty dreams, in order not to feed ourselves with vanity, we have these following verses and the following passage encouraging us to improve our relationship with one another and together with the Lord, and each individually his or her relationship with the Lord. So when we do that, when we experience the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in a greater measure, on a higher level, then we will see more clearly, did He call us to change our life or not? If he did, go for that. If he did not, labor in what you have. He that is unmarried, he that is single, cares for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. This is a commandment. This is an advice. This is a suggestion, an encouragement. The godly activities of the single brothers and sisters only begins here. It's going to continue in endless and glorious eternity. All they do in the Lord belong to the Lord because they themselves belong to the Lord and the Lord Himself belongs to them. That's the fellowship in the Spirit of Christ Jesus, our Savior and Master. He that is married cares for the things that are of the world, not necessarily worldly. So often they are, which is very sad. But saying about the things of the world means this life. In eternity, in the everlasting kingdom of the Lord, there won't be marriages. There won't be giving birth and dying. There will be one marriage. Marriage of the bridegroom of our soul with the souls that he has redeemed and prepared for the blessed eternity. But not unity in the flesh. And the flesh that we are going to have there, I don't know if that's going to be fleshly at all. I don't know what kind of body we are going to have, but God knows. And that's so encouraging to me. It's a contentment. When God knows something, it's in the perfect hands. None of us could take better care of that. The Lord is the best in that. So he that is married has a ministry that how he may please his wife, how he is going to make a blessed family. First, a blessed marriage, harmonizing marriage, together serving the Lord. Imagine a loving husband and loving, respectful wife together praying, bringing their petitions to the Lord and together praising the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. Working together, whether in the same workplace, on a field, in a household, or working into different places, one at home, the other in a factory. And when they get together in the evening or after the working hours, oh, what joy to be together and to praise the Lord together. And this is something that is not specific for brothers only. There is a difference also between a wife and a single sister. The single sister cares for the things of the Lord. It's a blessed ministry. It's a service that the Lord Himself delights in. Let every single sister know that. And let her delight in that. And not only her herself, all the others that benefit from it and that are observing that may rejoice with her and praise the Lord. In what way a single Christian sister is taking care of the things of the Lord? She is holy both in body and in spirit. So her body is separated from all the filth and lusting after sin, all the wild imagination of the world. Her body is used in serving the Lord. And while she is doing that in her body, she also keeps her spirit undefiled by the pollution of the world. It's not good that any one of us doing the will of the Lord physically in his mind and heart is longing for the sinful pleasures. That's a miserable life. It's a dangerous environment, spiritual environment, to be desiring evil while we are physically doing what is pleasing the Lord. It's important for every believer to know how valuable, how precious is every ministry, every service. Everything that the people of God are doing is just wonderful when it's done in the Spirit of Christ. But we also should observe and encourage one another. When we see something good, a sister doing something good, we should encourage her and appreciate that goodness of the Lord given to her for a ministry. And same way with a brother. And whether it's a single young sister or brother, or an aging one, or one that is already on his last part of his journey, old and sick and weak and so on, we should encourage them and tell them in how many things they were good example and encouragement to us. The duty and ministry of a married sister is in the first place to serve the Lord in pleasing her husband, making him a respected husband, a loved husband, a cherished husband. That sister is going to be blessed by the Lord and by her husband also. That ministry is unfolding here in this journey through this world. And that ministry of real godliness is going to end in this world. And every sister that has served the Lord in such a way will, in the life everlasting, be like a virgin, the soul that the Lord has espoused to His Son, one of the redeemed ones that will be embraced in that everlasting love of the Savior and Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bridegroom of our souls. So when the Apostle Paul is writing in this passage of the things of the world, that means godly ministry and labor of the faithful ones that will last as long as we live in the flesh. And when he is talking about the things of the Lord, he is talking about godly ministry and the things that we do in this body, while we are in this body, in our singlehood, serving the Lord. That ministry is going to last on and on. There is no change. And death of this body is only another liberation. The Lord is going to lift us up as soon as our body is left behind dead. Our soul is in the presence of the Lord. What a marvelous grace He has given us in Christ. Once I have understood these verses that I just shared with you, in the way I shared with you, it seemed to be very clear what I read in the verse number 35. And this I speak, the Apostle Paul speaking to us, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare unto you, but for that which is comely, which is pretty, beautiful, nice, pleasant. For that which is comely, and that ye may attend upon the Lord without distraction. So what does that mean? Nothing should be acceptable as a distraction. Everything should be embraced as an encouragement, an opportunity to serve the Lord. Oh, I could only wish that I did that throughout my journey so far. But I do pray from now on to remember this and serve the Lord in whatever situation He wants me to serve Him. After encouraging everyone to continue in the situation that he or she has and to keep focus on the Lord, not on myself, and to keep improving my ministry and my outreach and just my general and particular godliness, walking in the light of the Word of God. After all of that, in the verse number 36, Paul is turning back again to the believers that still desire to make a major change in their life. From the verse number 36 and on, if any man think that he behaveth himself uncomely toward his virgin, if she pass the flower of her age, and need so require, let him do what he will, he sinneth not, let them marry. Well, at this moment I feel that I should close this recording and start another recording with the verse number 36, because there are some contradictions in the understanding and application of this passage among the believers, and because I believe that some of them are sincere and some are sincerely wrong, I think there should be another recording, because it might take too much to have everything in this one. In the meantime, may the Lord guide us and protect us, bless us, and make us a blessing to one another and a living testimony to the world around us. His, Lord's, testimony of His abundant goodness and grace upon those that trust and obey His beloved Son, our King of Kings, Jesus Christ.